Well, health care was where I began a recent conversation with Congressman Joe Kennedy III. I met the Newton Democrat down in his Washington, D.C. office, and I began by asking him about the Republicans' failed efforts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, and if he thought the latest Republican effort being rolled out today would also fail.
I certainly hope so. And I think that's what not only folks from Massachusetts want, but I think it's what the country wants. Look, we've been under these debates around health care for months, if not years. And despite multiple attempts by Senate Republicans to try to actually repeal the Affordable Care Act and end up taking health care away from millions and millions of people, American public said, no, you can't do that. We don't want you to do that. From my perspective, anyway, the system actually worked. People stood up, they spoke out, and they said, no.
I agree with you that, from your perspective, the system worked because it's intentionally difficult to sort of dismantle laws, and this sort of proved that point. On the other hand, the reason why this failed was because the folks who wanted to dismantle it were divided between folks who wanted to dismantle it and folks who really wanted to dismantle it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I yes. From somebody that had a very up-close view of this. I think what you saw writ large, though, big challenge is that our Republican colleagues ran into was that their proposals actually didn't address the challenges that many folks had with our healthcare system. Nobody said that the problem is that one, Medicaid is too expensive, and two, that Medicaid pays doctors too much. There's challenges out there. No one ever said that. The bottom line is, behind closed doors, and I have this conversation with some of my Republican colleagues too, is to say, look, let me tell you how well it's going to work when one party has sole blame for the challenges in our healthcare system. And if you wonder whether that's a good thing, look at where Democrats have been for the past several years. When it's somebody's loved one that is in a hospital bed or is being rushed in an ambulance to get the care that they need, if it's somebody whose child is diagnosed with a serious illness, and all of a sudden the question is that, wait, I can't get the care that I need, or I can't afford it, or my insurance isn't going to cover it, or something else, there's some block to me for me to get the specialist I need. And that's because Republicans crafted a bill a certain way. If I could give our colleagues any unsolicited advice here, it would be healthcare might be something that not a whole lot of people think about until you need it. But when you need it, it's the only thing you think about.
I want to ask you about the big news last week about DACA, President Trump's decision to end DACA, and that would have protected young immigrants who were brought here illegally as small children from deportation. Trump now says it's up to Congress to fix it. Will this provide the impetus for Congress to act, in your view?
So first off, it was a terrible decision for the president to make, to tell Americans, make no doubt about this, they're Americans. They are part of the fabric of our country and our communities. The president of the United States decided to say that they're not wanted, and he didn't have to do it. I struggle to understand how somebody could think that a good day for America is somehow where you jeopardize the bonds of 800,000 families across this country, but that's what he did.
I mean, I guess if you sort of look for a justification, I mean, the Trump administration has suggested that DACA was on sort of shaky legal ground. It was being challenged by attorneys general from several states. So basically kick the can over to Congress and say, hey, guys, it's up to you to sort of make sure this is legal and right. Put it right.
That's one way of looking at it, obviously, and understood. Two, he could have extended DACA. He could have also come up with his own plan and urged his Republican colleagues to sign on to it and engage Democrats in that process. He didn't. He tore the rug out from underneath 800,000 families and then kicked the can to Congress so that he wouldn't get blamed for it. And I think that's shameful. Will this spur Congress to act? I sure hope so.
I'm sure you're hearing from Dreamers back in Massachusetts from your district. What's your message? What are you telling them?
We're going to fight for you, that this is your country too.
I'd love to ask you sort of a big picture question about sort of where Democrats stand in this particular political moment. Past 8 years, it's been rough for them, for you Democrats. Lost the Senate, lost the White House recently, governors, mansions, legislative seats all over the country, something like 1,000 in all or something like that. I mean, I guess the question is, what happened? What happened to your party?
Look, I think on the one hand, politically, yes, those numbers are accurate and it's been a rough couple of years. On the other hand, we've also seen a dramatic progression of some of the core democratic values that I think many of us hold and the country holds dear, right? Whether that's a progress that's been made on LGBT rights and gay marriage, the progress that we've made on health care, to see the American public stand up behind it and say, hey, wait a minute, you can't take that away from me, my family, my neighbor. You know, there's some consolation there in the fact that the issues that we've been fighting for have actually taken hold and I think are valued by the American public. But politically, no doubt, we all have to take a good look in the mirror and say, is this really where we want to be? And the answer to that is no. There's a lot of lessons to take from that 2016 election, but one of them is that there's a lot of voters out there that decided to vote for a guy that was going to shock the system.
And I think, so what's the answer to that? I mean, what do you think the answer to that is?
So I think one is we, again, have to acknowledge that there's a, I think, across the country, and this often gets framed as kind of a working class white issue in the Midwest, and I think it's broader than that, right? It is, though, a recognition that there's a real economic uncertainty that millions and millions of American families are confronting, where this country for an awfully long time had a system that created opportunities and jobs that would provide for a roof over your head and food on your plate, put your kid in a good school, and allow you to save for a decent retirement. And that's not the case now for an awful lot of people.
I mean, we've been talking about this for a long, long time. And what I'm having trouble understanding is, you know, this used to be the sort of Democrats' bread and butter. Why is it no longer sort of Democratic bread and butter? Or what do the Democrats have to do to convince those folks? How do you get them back?
So I think it's a combination of things. And one, I don't think the Democratic Party necessarily wholly left, but I do think that, look, part of this is that we were a party that was in power because of the situation that President Obama had found himself in when he did come into office, and the precipice of the worst economic recession in generations, something that could have been far worse. He and Democratic leadership at that point actually had to do some things that were going to be really unpopular. Bailout was really unpopular. Bailing out Wall Street was really unpopular. But they had to do it, and they did it, and we paid a huge political price for it. But it was the right decision. And I think because Democrats decided to do, I think, what we thought was right, what we've been trying to do for an awfully long time, my uncle was working on trying to ensure that everybody had access to quality, accessible health care in this country for over 50 years, and he never even got a chance to see it. And so we leveraged that opportunity to try to make that so, and paid a political price for that now, which 10 years later, people are actually standing up and fighting for. It does mean, though, that just because those folks that are in office or aspire to run for office believe something doesn't mean that the folks that you seek to serve necessarily believe you. You got to go out there and earn their trust back. And that's long and that's hard, but you got to scrap and scrape and claw your way back to it.
I just want to ask you in general, is this a particularly tough time? I mean, you're a relatively young congressman. You're at a time when it's really got to be kind of hard to be a Democrat. Or do you not look at it that way? Does the fact that your family has been in this business so long, you have that advantage of understanding that you got to take the long view?
I think it's a tough time to be in elective office. I've got a number of Republicans friends down here. I count them as friends. I think many of them feel similar frustrations. I don't think that's so much a Democrat or Republican thing at the moment. But I think, you know, you do feel our system isn't working very well at the moment. The vast majority of people here, my colleagues here, believe it or not, are actually pretty decent folks. But the system's in a tough spot at the moment. And that part is frustrating. And obviously, we're seeing now with a Trump administration a targeting of some of the core values that I hold most dear, and I think many residents of Massachusetts hold dear, where you try to find ways to unite people behind a common idea and push the country forward, rather than play to some of the worst base instincts pull our country apart, which I think, unfortunately, the president has done, and some of those around him have done deliberately and, unfortunately, very effectively. So that part's heartbreaking. The way we get through it is you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you keep trying.
I want to ask a little bit about your long-term view. I read recently that you spoke openly about, yeah, maybe one day a Senate seat would be right for Joe Kennedy. Can you talk a little bit about sort of how you view your long view in this business?
The best way that I have learned anyway to try to understand this business is to know that one lesson from my father-in-law, who happens to be a minister, who said, "We make plans and God laughs." So
that wasn't God laughing. That was me. Sorry about this.
So the bottom line on this, and I, you know, and appreciate some of the speculation on what my future might be, that I count Senator Warren and Senator Markey as close friends and mentors of mine. You might know I met my wife in Senator Warren's class. Senator Markey has been a dear friend to me and my family now for an awfully long time. So
if one day you end up running for Senate, you're not going to be running against them, is what
no,
you're saying.
I'm not going to be running against them. And I think they're going to be there for a while. And yeah. I want them to be there for a while, unless either one of them has aspirations to lead in another capacity, which may or may not come to pass as well. But I'm big supporters of both of theirs. So beyond that, I don't know what I'm doing for dinner tonight. I do know that I've got wonderful, amazingly perfect 20-month-old daughter who's going to be hopefully joined by a little brother in another couple of months. I've got an incredible wife that puts up with me and a growing family and an extraordinarily demanding travel schedule and job. I don't know what the future is going to hold for me. I do know that try to meet the responsibilities that the voters of the 4th District have placed on me, and I do the best I can every day to try to do them proud.
All right, that was Congressman Joe Kennedy III. He's a Democrat who represents the state's 4th Congressional District. We caught up with him recently in his Washington, D.C. office to record that interview. Stay with us. There's more ahead coming up, Finding Religion on the Basketball Court. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.